This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's a little chilly out, but other than that, it's going to be a beautiful day.
Well, it should be a little chilly. you realize in like a month from right now, we'll be done with Christmas already? I hate to say it.
Well, I can't understand that. Where did time go?
I know it.
I mean, it must have just flown on by us. I thought we were just getting ready for fall.
We were. And now all of a sudden we're staring at, you know, the end of Christmas and then the New Year's. Goodness gracious. I think time really does speed up. It's crazy.
You know, it seems like in the fall it does. It just, everything just goes so fast. We don't have time to enjoy it.
And I know it. Yeah, we hit that Halloween, and then we're like, okay, we're into the holiday season, and then, you know, once November 1st hits, it's like, you know, we stare at Thanksgiving, and then we stare down, the Christmas, and then the New Year's break, and once we get into that holiday funnel, it just seems like time goes flying so fast. I mean, we're already done with Thanksgiving, and it's hard to believe it. I seem to remember saying, wow, I can't wait till Thanksgiving is here in like a month or two, and now it's already gone. It's crazy.
Time is passing us by, so we need to be diligent about what we're doing.
Yeah.
We need to make sure we're accomplishing something every day.
That's true. That's true. Don't let any time go to waste.
No, you cannot let time go to waste, because we're only going to be here a short time, they tell me. So, you know, we better get ourselves together.
They tell you.
That's what I've heard. And, you know, so we need to be diligent every day and accomplish a lot.
Wow. That is true.
And before you know it, we'll be old. And we're not going to talk about that.
Oh, no.
But we need to be doing something every day that's worth talking about.
That is true. That is true. Otherwise, we just look back and we're like, we have wasted so much time. Golly.
Yeah, and what did we accomplish in life?
Yeah. Wow.
So we need to be diligent. It's just like with people's accounts. You know, we need to be diligent. We need to be making money. Everybody's going to want to retire. They've got to have enough money to retire. We've got to keep their money safe. And the only way to do that is do safe investments.
Yeah, and that's what this is all about. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby, and your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So how are we with investments and like the outlook and whatnot as we get into the...
I think the outlook is good. We've had a lot of policies this year. We've had a lot of maturities. We need a lot more, but everybody needs more maturities. We're doing some great policies right here at the end of the year, better than we've ever had. The premiums are better than we've ever had. People have got more money in their accounts. I think some of them need to be investing more, you know, and not have just all cash or this much cash. They've got more cash than they usually have. You know, I said the other day they've got about $22 million cash in the bank. There's $97 million invested. So that's, you know, quite a bit of money to have invested. So I think we're doing good. We're going to get more maturities, I think, before the end of the year, so people have more money. Everybody's working on one goal, making money for retirement, or if they've already retired, just keeping their interest up and making enough interest to be worth their time.
Do people come in, do they come in like with their eye on retirement, or do they come in with, you know, by that I mean, hey, we want to retire, you know, in this amount of time, a year, 2 years, 6 months, whatever it is, and we want to be at this amount of assets and money in the bank and investments and things like that? Or do they just come in and say, you know, let's make as much money as we can and then kind of go from there? Which approach do people?
Well, used to, it was all about retirement. Now it's just, it's all over the place. It's really, let's make some money. The people that came to me this last week, they said, how soon can you get it invested? So I don't know exactly what they'd had invested in before, but obviously it wasn't working out because they said, how quickly can you get this money invested? So it seems like everybody's saying, let's get our money to making some money. You know, what's our interest rate? How much interest can we make? So that seems to be the theme. Then I had several people come in and do some annuities. I done, I think, three sets of annuities for people last week. And, you know, we did some with bonuses. One we did with an 8% bonus up front. One with a 5% bonus up front. Then the others, we didn't do bonuses. We're just going to take it out of the index. But one thing about annuities, they're always going to be there. In my field, they're the safest thing you can do. The companies have been in business 150 years. They have great track record. They're worth over $60 billion. Some of them are worth $100 billion.
Wow.
And you can count on an annuity for retirement. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And anybody that's in CDs, the annuity would be the next step up.
Hmm.
Because an annuity will pay you the rest of your life. The interest is always there. Annuity companies have up reserves to cover you. You're never barefoot with them. They've always got a backup. If everybody needed their money the next day, they could get it. So that's why annuities are such a great, great investment for everybody.
Is it fair to say that maybe annuities are more like a long-term type of investment?
They are a long-term investment. They're like 5 years, 7 years, and 10.
Hmm. Okay.
We don't do anything over 10. But now we're renewing a lot of the 10-year ones into another 10.
Really?
Yes, because people have had them that long. A lot of our customers bought annuities with us over the years, you know, the last 10 years, 12 years, and now those have come up, so we're renewing those. We're putting it with a different company, and they're going to make more money, and these are walk-away annuities. A lot of people don't know, I don't think, the difference. Some annuity companies, when you finish the 10 years, you can't just walk away and get your money. You have to then take a payout, and with this annuity, you do not. You can walk away at the end of 10 years and say, I want all my money plus all my interest, and you can do that.
Really?
Yes, and that's the best kind to buy. You don't want to buy the kind that at the end of 10, they say, oh, no, you've got to take a payout now, and you've already been with them 10 years.
Hmm.
So you need an option there to be able to say, I want all my money or I will take a payout.
I know we haven't gone too deep into annuities in the past. Is it worth going into? Because obviously there's you know, parts about annuities that we haven't really gone into, you know, like walk-away annuities, things like that. Should we get into things like bonuses, what they mean, how they work, anything like that? Or is that...
Well, bonuses come off the top. In other words, you can get a bonus of 8%, 5%, different amounts, and they add that to your annuity now. It's added right on top. So before you've ever made a dime, you've already made 8% or 5% on your investment before you even put a day's work in. So that's a good thing. Now, I like to do a lot of them that have no bonus because they pay you more that first 5 or 6 years if you don't take a bonus.
Really?
So I like to do it the other way most of the time. But some people are coming out of something or some investment that they've lost money on. So if they have, then we say, okay, we'll do a bonus and get you some money up front. So that helps them. So a bonus can be used in different ways. The other thing about annuities is you can take a lifetime payout, you can take 10% a year, or you can say, these are for my wife or my children. We're not going to take anything out. I have a lot of people never took the first dime out of their annuity. So all that interest is accumulated for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. So when you look at it, you go, they put 100 in, it's now worth 150,000.
Well, that's not bad
so
at all.
That interest is sitting there. So then they can either say, okay, now I'll take a payout, or now I'll take 10% a year, or I'm still not going to take anything. I'm leaving it to my grandchildren or my children.
Generally,
and a lot of people do this. You can set up annuities for all your grandchildren. A lot of wealthy people have come to us, and we put like $10,000 for each grandchild in one. I have one lady did a joint venture with her kids. Her kids are in college. She put $50,000 for each child in a life settlement. We didn't do that one in annuity. We did a life settlement with her kids that are in college, and it's been 4 or 5 years. Now then the kids are taking theirs out and buying houses.
Really? The
typical kids, yeah.
Huh.
They're taking out their profit and their principal and going to buy houses.
Neat. So people can set things up for, I guess, maybe allocate different portions of investments to go towards different things.
Yes, they can. They can say, you know, we want to do it this way or we want to do it this way. And annuities are flexible. That's what I love. They're so flexible, you can do a lot of things with them. It's not just set and oil. And it's not just a fixed rate. You can take a fixed rate like a CD in the bank, or you can do an index annuity where you can build up your profit year after year. And usually I do index annuities. But I've got some people every once in a while that the lady will say, I want a fixed rate, just fixed rate forever.
What are the advantages of indexed?
The index mirrors the stock market. It looks at the stock market every day and says, okay, if the stock market makes money, we make money. But it's never directly in the stock market. It's safe in your annuity at all times. But you can say, okay, I want to do Fidelity, or I want to do BlackRock, or I want to do this other one. And you can put like 25, 25, 25 inside the annuity. And if the stock market makes money, then you make money. If it doesn't, it sits there. It never goes down. That's one thing about all of our investments. Had you thought about that? None of these investments go backwards. None of them, the principal is lost. So that's the safer part of our investments versus the stock market, where lots of times you lose part of your principal. And you certainly lose your interest. So it's safer that way. You know how much you've got. You know your principal will always be there. So when it makes money, it's just added to your principal every year.
So if the stock market makes money, you make money. But if the stock market loses money, you don't lose money. There's a safety net there.
You do not lose it. There's a safety net. And it just stays the same. If the stock market goes into free fall, you're just safe. It just doesn't make any money that year. But you didn't lose any money. And when you don't lose any, that's everything.
Yeah, now it is. Wow.
It is, yes.
We've had a reality check.
Yeah, you need a reality check. If you're in the stock market and everything goes down, you just flat lose. They're not going to give you that back.
Yeah.
You've got to wait till the market comes back. And if that particular stock doesn't come back, then you lose. You just don't make any money. You know, like we talked about FTX last week just a little bit. They say there's 1 million people invested in that thing.
Really?
The creditors are owed $3 billion.
Oh, wow.
I mean, how are they going to get it back?
That's a pretty big hurdle to overcome. I'm not sure.
When you do risky investments like that, you've got to know you could lose it all.
Yeah.
But people forget about that. Greed sets in.
It does.
And you say, oh, my gosh, you know, all these celebrities are touting it. All the movie stars, all the football players are saying, you've got to get in this crypto deal. It's going to make you some money. Probably told them a lot of money. And now they're not only not going to make any, it'll be a miracle if they get one dime back.
Aren't some of the celebrities getting sued over that?
Yes, they are. They're going to sue a lot of the celebrities and say, you led us down the garden path. You told us a wonderful deal. Now we've lost all of our money. You pay it back. Then they gave the Democrats, as you know, $40 million. And they're saying, make all them give their money back because these people have lost so much. But I don't think that'll happen. Mm. I've never seen a politician giving money back. That doesn't usually work that way.
If it does, you'll probably start a whole new show.
That's right. Everybody say, okay, politicians, give me my money.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't usually work that way. But it's an amazing story. You know, they raised billions and billions and billions of dollars. And then the guy loaned himself $3 billion. So they say it's going to be bigger than the Bernie Madoff scandal.
Wow. I mean, that's just...
But I'm sure nobody in Texas got involved. I hope nobody in Texas fell for this.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was all New Yorkers.
Or New Jersey.
Or New Jersey. The people in New Jersey, you know, they have strange ways. And you know, people tell me, I have a lot of people in Florida, and they say when the New Yorkers come down there and buy a house or rent a house, they're just rude to everybody.
Oh,
they
yeah.
drive rude. They go in a store and... they'll cut you off in line. If you're lined up, they'll just cut you off, step in front of you, and think they have to be serviced first. I don't know where these New Yorkers and New Jersey people got this idea. You know, Texas is a friendly state in the Union.
Yes.
It's been proven many times. Texans don't act like that. They're polite. You know, their mothers taught them right. They live right, and it's just shocking. You know, when you meet some of these people, because they don't have any manners.
They really don't. They don't.
No.
They don't care. They don't even think anything of it. I mean, it's just, it's so much, all that fighting and all that, it's just all the time. And it's just
They're
not
mad
the one,
all the time.
Yeah. It's not what we do. Mm-mm.
Do you think it's because they're crowded in a small place? Or do you think it's all that snow that's made them so mad? You know, they fought snow. They've been in blizzards forever. You think that made them mean?
Probably. And after
it
what they had,
did make them mean.
If that's what it was, after last weekend's snow event that they had, they're probably extra mean right now.
That's right. So you don't want to go to New York or New Jersey. Those people will tear you apart.
Yeah, they will. Jeez.
If I was in 6 foot of snow and had to stay that way for a while, I would be really
You'd be
not
miserable.
At my best.
Yeah.
I would be so miserable.
Not
you know, I'd say,
best.
Get me out of here. You know, get the snow plows. I'm never going back.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I couldn't have imagined just that much snow for that long and just cloudy and gray skies and just cold weather. And yeah, you know, you see those things in the movies and it's just, it looks just as depressing as could possibly be. So it's good that we are where we are because we get a little bit
well,
seasonal.
And they dress different than us.
Oh,
you know that.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, they dress a lot different and I think it's a cold and that snow that's made them that way.
I think, you
know,
right. Well, see, there's
you know,
something else to be thankful for on this Thanksgiving weekend is that we're not up there.
That's right. We've got a lot to be thankful for, mainly that we live in Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we don't know how half the world lives up there, you know, in all that cold country.
Uh-uh.
And lots of times they can't get out and even go to work. I mean, that'd be a bad scene.
That would be difficult. That would be really, really hard to live in for that long of amount of time, because winters are really long up there, I think.
They're very long. How about if you lived in Alaska where it's dark half the year?
Oh, Lord, I couldn't even imagine that. You have, like, I've seen, you know, things on TV where people are outside and they'll have, like, the time, and it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's pitch black out. Like, that would just disorient me.
Could you live like that?
No.
I couldn't even make it.
Mm-mm.
I'll bet even the elk and everything didn't like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I know somebody who lived here and then moved to Alaska for a while and then moved back. We didn't ever get into the particulars, but it's just like, I believe I'd be moving back too. That would be too much.
Yeah. And I knew some people that said they were missionaries in Alaska, and they didn't last very long.
Mm-mm.
They said it was just the depression sets in when you go so many days and you never see the sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be a tough life.
I can only imagine. There are some. I mean, you see some things on TV, on the internet and whatnot, where there's, you know, a lot of blue sky and a lot of sunshine, a lot of green forestry. Some of it really does look very pretty. But boy, I think I would be so disoriented with, like, the daylight thing and all that and the remoteness. I don't know. That would kind of, that might mess with my senses a little bit.
It would mess with mine a lot. That's why, you know, if you're going to live where it's pleasant, where the people are pleasant, the jobs are nice, most of the people are very friendly where you work, and your blood pressure will be down.
Oh, yeah.
Your ulcers will be down, and you'll live longer.
Yeah, yeah. I know we say that we're the nicest people on Earth, but I'm sure there's actual studies and information that'll prove that. So it's not just a saying.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just us saying it. I think it's actually the truth.
Yeah.
That I know they've documented that we are the friendliest place. And, you know, if I had to go in a store and fight my way to the front, then somebody gets in front of me and it's nasty, I wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that,
it would not be a good place to be. Your blood pressure would be through the roof. I know every time you have to deal with the people in New Jersey, you go through that thing. It's like, they're in New Jersey.
Well, and like when we need to get a death certificate.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't even get one this last time from the county.
I know.
They they're not going to do that. They gave us a provisional one. It's not the right kind of death certificate. Jim Orr, our attorney, had to call the state of New Jersey to finally get the death certificate. He found a nice lady, he said, and he talked to her. She finally said she's going to get that death certificate. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's very different up there. And I mean, for a while it was because of, you know, COVID and people were shut down and working remotely and limited staffs and things like that. But it's, I think they're back up to full staff and everybody's, you know, back and everything's running on full steam. Right. So I don't know what it is.
Yes.
Now.
I think they just don't all go to work every day. It's like, you know, they're hidden somewhere. Everybody thinks they're there, but they're not there. They're getting paid, but they're just not working. And so that's why we never can get anything done in New Jersey, because the people aren't really at the workplace.
They're non-responsive.
They're just not there. No.
Wow. But you got around that. There's ways to...
We think we've got around that. The state of New Jersey was much more responsive.
Ah, rather than the county.
Yeah. Yeah, the county wasn't worth a hoot.
And Jim took care of that.
Yes.
Good.
He's taking care of that. He's getting that. So I'm not going to worry about that deal anymore.
What type of, and I don't even know if this is even a thing or not, but for people who are thinking about, you know, they're like, okay, it's kind of towards the end of the year. I'm looking at my portfolio. We're just not making it in the stock market. We've got to have some other options. We're not really sure if we should go into life settlements or annuities or what should we do. So is there a typical type of person or maybe a type of goal when people are deciding between life settlements and annuities and all the options on the table? Is there a certain path that they should go down when they think about it to kind of maybe hone in on what they what would serve their goals best, like a certain type of investor or, you know, what they're trying to accomplish?
Yes, there is. There's different types of investors. The type that have been in the stock market, those are the types that are going to be for life settlements. The types that have been in CDs and that type, those are annuity people, there's no doubt, because they're going to want to be just as safe, just like they were. Mm. And they're not going to want to make that change. They're going to stay with annuities probably. Now, I've got some people that are both ways. They want to be really diversified, so they have some in life settlements, some in CDs, and then they take the CDs out and we do annuities. Because CDs aren't paying anything. Annuities, as I said, are paying like 4.5%.
Jeez.
And that's a big difference.
Is anything, aside from annuities and life settlements, is there anything that's paying anything at all? Because I know gold, you've never been a fan of gold. The stock market is so unpredictable. It's like there's all these different options out there, and it seems like none of them, except for, you know, annuities and life settlements, that people are actually doing well in. It just, it's hard to find
anything. If you need income, if you need interest, these are more liquid. You can do real estate. Real estate's usually a long-term proposition.
Yeah.
You know, and right now it seems like real estate has slowed down again because of the economy. You know, a year ago real estate was hot, really, really hot. And I told the story of this 3 acres of land that's here by me, and it sold for $500,000, 3 acres.
Jeez.
They've been asking $800,000 for it now. And it has not sold. And it's been on the market 3 months.
Wow.
I'm telling you, you can only go so high, and people will finally put their foot down and say, I'm not going to pay that much.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 acres should not be $800,000.
No, that's a bit pricey.
That's going way over the line.
Yeah.
See, I think it's worth about $350,000.
Yeah, so even at $500,000, it's pushing it.
It went to 500, and now they're asking 800.
Jeez. And it's not moving at all.
No, it's not moving. Now, it may, but I'm going to be shocked if they pay $800,000 for 3 acres with no water available, no nothing.
Good Lord.
There's no water on the property. There's no nothing. I think there's 2 trees on it.
Wow.
And no electricity.
So it literally is just a hunk of land.
It's just a piece of dirt.
Ugh. Wow. You know, I'm sitting here just kind of like listening to what you're saying and thinking about all these different options. And it seems like, you know, because you talk about like real estate, for example. You were just talking about how, you know, a year ago it was up and then now it's down. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the stock market. One day it's up, one day it's down. We talk about lots of different things that have a lot of variables that you have no control over. And so some days it's, like you said, it's up and then some days it's down. I don't ever hear anything like that. It's, as long as we've been talking about life settlements, I never hear anything about seasonal or conditional terms. It's always, you know, life settlement, it is what it is. It holds steady. It's up or never an, well, it's down kind of conversation. It's always, you know, the policy just matures. Nothing else seems to affect it. And it seems like no matter what the conditions are in any part of the world, whether it's, you know, stock market, ups and downs, global issues, war breaking out in other places, supply and demand, inflation, doesn't matter what's going on. It seems like the life settlement just holds steady and nothing seems to affect it. And it really kind of hits home. When you say things,
it really
like that.
Doesn't affect by the economy, what's happening in the stock market. Wall Street is not a part of this. That's the good thing. It does not have anything to do with Wall Street. Now, there is some people that do mutual funds on life settlements, but they've learned some hard lessons. You know, you can't go and guarantee 8% a year when they haven't even matured.
Hmm.
I don't know how they were backward thinking. You know, you've got to turn that around. You can't say we're going to guarantee 8% when you don't know how long it's going to be. So other than that, you know, this is the way to do it, where that it, you just buy the policy, you wait for it to mature. When it matures, you do another policy. And we do a lot of policies. You wait for your maturities. That's when you get your profit. We put the profit back in your account, and we go again. And we've got shorter LAs now than we've ever had. And they are maturing. They're maturing rapidly. We still have some old policies, but they're going to kick in at the right time. You're going to get paid probably two or three at one time. This summer, we've had several on several people that all of them matured at one time. And sometimes that happens when you have a lot of policies.
Yeah.
And then we have the guy that had seven maturities. He's got four that went over, and that upset him. And I said, my Lord, you've already got paid on seven.
Yeah.
You know? And these other four will come in. In fact, one of them is in the root policy. They're waiting to get paid on now, so he's going to get paid on that one. Then he'll only have three. And, you know, people don't understand. Not all of these are going to come due at the same time, the same day. That's why we've got them staggered. There's always some maturing. And, you know, in September, we had 15 million in maturities, more than we've ever had.
Jeez. 15 million.
Yeah, that's the most we've ever. 15 million in 1 month.
Wow.
Which was just outstanding. And, you know, now we're waiting for these others to mature. And I guarantee we'll have some more before December's over. So we're going to have more maturities, more money for people to invest. So they need to invest some of this money and keep going where they will have more interest built up. Not just the cash they have now, but more than just that.
So if people are diversified properly and they're in a number of different policies, there's always, you know, something that's, you know, maturing, and then that gets reinvested into another policy. And while that's happening, there's another one that will mature. It's kind of like you look at the long-term picture. It sounds like sometimes people will zoom in and get really hyper-focused on some small things, like either one particular policy or something. And it's important to remember to stay, you know, looking at the big picture. Some will come in early. Some will come in a little bit late. Some will come in on time, like you always say. And really, that's how the whole thing is set up, which is, you know, like you say, that's why they're staggered. And so there's always some kind of movement going on. It sounds like just patience is really the biggest enemy of a life insurance.
That's right. You've got to be patient. You know that they're going to mature. We just don't know when. And we're getting better LAs than we've ever gotten since we used this other company. I love their LAs. They're right spot on. And the government says they're right 96% of the time. State of Florida, all these other states said this company, Lapidus, is right most of the time. So we trust their LAs. Their LAs are great.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we take a break for a trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
We're going to talk about what all happened at Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to play trivia on this. Okay. How many turkeys were sold for Thanksgiving?
This year?
This year.
I'm going to say 1 million.
46 million.
That was my next guess.
Okay. Wow. How many pumpkin pies were sold?
Okay, pumpkin pie. I'm going to adjust based on the turkey. I'm going to say 25 million.
50 million.
Jeez.
50 million pumpkin pies.
Wow, that's a lot of pies.
It's so much pies. Okay, how much cranberry sauce was sold.
Are we talking about the cans, like at the store?
I'm talking about a pound
of
cranberries.
Oh, my God. Pounds. Oh, boy. Okay. They're not very 75 million pounds.
21 million pounds of cranberries were sold.
Jeez. Not even close.
Yes.
All right. I think I'm failing at this game.
How many people traveled for Thanksgiving?
I think everybody. I don't know. Let's see. Probably, I would say probably 100 million.
53 million.
Jeez, really?
Traveled for Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. Okay. How many people in the United States do you think celebrated Thanksgiving?
53 million.
46 million.
Oh, see, I'm getting closer.
You overestimated that.
I know it.
Now, let me ask you, do you know the story of about pumpkin pies, how they started?
No, but I do love pumpkin pie.
Okay, it started from Africa, the Americas, and then, of course, ancient trade routes through Asia and the Middle East. That's where all pumpkin came from.
Really?
Yeah. And it was very popular in the Middle Ages in Europe. And that was before it ever came here. And medieval pies look much different than they are today. They didn't eat the crust. Instead, the pie crust was made of a dough, thick and bland. It didn't have butter, wasn't flaky. And it was used as single food serving. And medieval pies were made without pie plates. So they stood real high, and then they put a gelatin gravy into a hole at the top to keep the air out.
Wow.
Yes. Then they broke open the pies and scooped out the contents, and they threw away the crust.
Really? That sounds totally different than what we have now.
It is. And then around the 15th century, they stopped tossing out the crust. The European settlers arrived in North America, and they started eating pie crust and became normal. And food was scarce when they came. So, you know, they did not throw away anything. Everything was kept intact. And, of course, then it became eating a slice of pie. So everything changed about pumpkin pie after it got over here, naturally. And we would make everything change.
Yeah, we fixed it.
But did you know that a long time ago, everybody had pies in the morning, especially at Thanksgiving with a cup of coffee?
Really? So now that's my kind of eating right there, pie in the morning.
Yeah. And until the 19th century, people regularly ate breakfast pies.
Really?
And the hotels served a breakfast pie.
Is it like eggs and quiche, or is it like pumpkin pie in the morning?
Well, they talked about pumpkin and apple.
Delicious.
Oh. Yeah, pumpkin and apple was served at all your hotels as a breakfast pie, which I found
be.
That very, very interesting.
Yes. Yes, I like that.
Yeah. Okay, now to continue with my little trivia here, how many people... well, let's talk about the Indians first. How many Indians were at the first Thanksgiving?
Three.
90.
Really? Oh, wow.
They came by from a nearby village, and one of the young Indians spoke fluent English, and he had been appointed by Massad, as you know, to serve as a pilgrim's translator and a guide. And he had been captured and had been in Europe, is why he knew how to speak English. And that was when they took all these silly pilgrims out in the forest and showed them how to hunt. And they said they had a huge amount of turkeys and venison is what they had.
Mm. Wow.
Venison, yeah. Said that they had lots of venison and they had a lot of birds to eat. Remember, they had no sugar. They had no other things. So they weren't making pies or doing anything like that back then.
Wow. I didn't realize they had venison.
Yeah, and they did not have potatoes back then. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even have their first oven at the time of the first Thanksgiving. So remember, they had to do this on these open fires. And so there wasn't but certain things you could do. But they said they had mussels and lobsters, grapes, plums, corn, and herbs.
Huh.
But that was about it. But there was about 50 of the pilgrims that had survived that were there at that time.
Really? Only 50?
Yes, that's all that was left. You know, they'd had a lot of sickness, so a lot of them had passed away.
Oh, well, you know, you don't even think about that. But, yeah, I can see them. I mean, conditions were harsh back then.
They're very harsh. And the first ones, they were just called a celebration, a harvest celebration. They weren't even using the word Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
When and that was 1621.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes. And it did not become a national holiday till December 18th, 1777.
Really?
Then in 1787, George Washington declared the last Thursday in November as Thanksgiving.
Huh.
And that was 1787.
Well, I didn't realize that it was, I guess, in the 1700s that it actually became an official thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would have thought either, I would have gone either one extreme. Either it was like back in 16-something, or it would have been like, you know, 1941 or something like that. Because, you know, it takes a while for us to turn something into an actual holiday. Wow.
That's exactly right. It always takes us a long time. But I was shocked that, you know, when it was actually became, and George Washington was the one that declared it the last Thursday.
Wow.
So that's how far back it goes.
Hmm. And he actually called it Thanksgiving then. They didn't call it something else, and we've changed the name.
No, he called it a national Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm. It seems very different than what we usually do, because a lot of times when something will start, it may start as one thing and then we kind of morph it and change it, change the name and change traditions.
They change everything to suit themselves. and they always want the long four-day weekends, and so that's why they like everything Fridays, and make it a long, long weekend.
Wow. Neat. I have noticed, speaking of Friday, that the Black Friday sales, a lot of them have been going on for like weeks, as opposed to like, I think the days of going to the store at 3 a.m. and standing outside and lining up and rushing in like crazy mobs. I think those days might be over. It doesn't seem like people
do that. I think they are too, because everybody's just having regular, Black Friday sales. I haven't heard of that. Also, I heard that Walmart would close on Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah.
And that's a first. And a lot of people, I don't think, are going to stay open on Thursday, or did stay open on Thursday, because I never heard about it. And it seemed real quiet as far as big sales and all, like what you were talking about. I never heard of any of them.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of them that were closed yesterday. I know Walmart, they had said early on that they were going to be closed on Thanksgiving. And then I think it was it Target and a couple other ones that were saying the same thing, that they were going to be closed on Thanksgiving as well. So, and I know that, you know, the Black Friday sales were always, you know, that's where everybody lined up and everybody, you know, got there at, you know, 4 a.m. And then they had different sales sectioned off between, you know, 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. This was on sale. And then between 6 and 8, this was on sale. And so there's all these different staggered things. And then they kind of pushed that back into Thanksgiving. And then all of a sudden everybody was opening at, you know, 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving night. And so it just seems like they were just dragging it out further and further. And now it seems like all of a sudden this year they kind of diluted everything. Some places were closed yesterday. The Black Friday sales are not, you know, at 3 a.m. anymore. It's just kind of like online sales or things that'll go on for a couple of weeks. And it seems like very quickly the whole dynamic changed over the last couple of years. I don't know if it's COVID-based or economic-based or what it is, but it seems like
I think everybody saw that you can do all this online.
Yeah.
I think everything went online and they go, you know, what the heck? Why would you go stand out in the cold when you can get it online? They're doing the Black Friday deals all the time now. And I think it's just changing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally, totally different. And it's kind of nice because I guess it gives employees time to spend with their families. Businesses don't have to pay, you know, that overhead by having employees there, you know, the power on and all the overhead that goes with being open. And so people can just literally buy online with nobody at an actual store. So I don't know. I guess it's got its ups and downs, but it's nice to see that people aren't out getting injured.
That's exactly right. Who wants to be out in the cold weather when you can just go online and buy it? And, you know, Macy's last week had that wonderful sale. I mean, I was in shock at their sale. Macy's had one of the best sales I've ever seen.
Really?
Yes. You know, all these little sports deals that everybody wears, you know, the jogging outfits, they reduce their ladies' little jacket jogging outfits to $13.
Really?
Those are $50 jackets.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that was a big deal. I just happened to look at them up and saw this. And I go, my gosh, Macy's is going crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have to do all this. Just go to the go online to the stores that are, you know, got all their big Black Friday deals going on, and you buy it right then.
Yeah, and it almost seems like some of the types of things that they've got on sale are different than usual. And I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that, you know, like shipping and supplies and things were kind of backed up for a little bit. And so now they've got all this, like, summertime types of things that you know, they didn't get on the shelves because they were in the ports and all. And so now they've got to get rid of the merchandise. I don't know if that has anything to do with any of this, but there's so many different conditions now than what there used to be. And it just seems like, just kind of like, it's kind of like playing 52-card pickup. We're in a totally different universe than we were 2 years ago. Wow. Interesting. Oh, hopefully you had a happy Thanksgiving and didn't go to the store at 4 a.m. yesterday. And
no, I did not go get anything. I had everything handled. Everything worked out. So, no, I did. I was not going to the stores or anything.
Yeah. And all this is way different than it was in 1777. It's just nothing.
Exactly. 1777, 1778. I mean, can you imagine? They lived through a rough, rough winter. And if it hadn't been for the Indians, they would have all died.
Yeah.
You know, the Indians came and helped them. Thank goodness that one young man spoke English. And the Indian chief told him to go and to lead them and to help them. And he did. And, you know, they went out and hunted for them. They weren't prepared for that harsh winter. And they weren't prepared for not having any food, I don't think.
Yeah. It's not like they could just run to the store.
Yeah, and so they ate with Indians. The Indians taught them how to cook all these things. You know, they managed to have really a pretty good dinner.
Yeah, yeah. And then that one dinner, and who would have, I'm sure they probably had no idea, but that one dinner, that one feast, that one celebration turned into an actual national holiday. And so, you know,
that's
really.
That's right.
You think about, you sit down on an average Tuesday to eat a sandwich for lunch, and all of a sudden, you know, who would ever imagine that would at one day turn into such a big thing? So it really is kind of like the cornerstone of the holiday season for everything that we do now. So it's very interesting how it all started and where we've ended up. Very strange.
Yeah, because it started out with about 40 or 50 people, and look what we have in America today.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you think? It started with just these little, one little group, and they spread and spread, and more people came to America. And what amazes me, all the Europeans came then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe.
So that's what it was, a melting pot. of people coming in to New York City and to different ports in America. And that's what the, how they created America.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever been up there to the Statue of Liberty?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. But my wife's been there, and she says that on the island, when you go in and you see, like, because they have, like, different, like, trunks and different belongings of people who have who came through, you know, moved over here to start a better life. They've got, like, some artifacts and things, and apparently it's very, very moving. When you see all those things and, you know, think about all the people that, you know, had hopes and dreams and coming over here and things like that. So one day we're going to go up and see it. But, yeah, she says it's very, very, it's really, really powerful. It's very cool to go see it.
I'd heard that also, that when you go and see, you know, where they came in on the ship and to that island, that it's very impressive.
Yeah.
And think that France gave us the Statue of Liberty.
I know, right? That was
pretty
cool.
I mean, that was one of the coolest things in the world.
It really is.
I mean,
I know that's so understated that that's cool, but yeah, it really is. I mean, it's that you don't see things happen like that anymore in the world.
No, so. And people apparently were really nice to each other back then.
No.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, just maybe, since we're kind of like diluting some of the Black Friday sales, and maybe it's not quite as much about, you know, the profit margins and whatnot with, you know, fourth quarter and Thanksgiving sales and all that, maybe we're getting back to a little bit. It's giving us a little more breathing room to get back to like family and people and, you know, Thanksgiving and what it really means and what it's all about and stuff like that. So that would be progress if that's the case.
Did you think about what you were thankful for?
Why? Yes. No. Yes.
Well, you know, every year I always try to say, okay, what are we thankful for? You know, first of all, that we live in a free country.
Oh, yeah.
Then the second, that we live in Texas.
That's another big one.
Thankful thing.
Yeah.
Then for our families. For our jobs, that we have plenty to eat, and that we have clothing. You know, a lot of we take all this for granted because we have it. We don't think about the ones who don't.
That's true.
You know, we don't say, well, you know, there's other people that are less fortunate. And always at Thanksgiving, I start thinking about who we can give to. You know, what can we give to someone else to help them a little bit? And I think at Thanksgiving, everybody should start thinking that way.
Do you ever have that thing where you're like sitting at Thanksgiving and everybody's around and you've got all the food and you've got all the, you know, family is there and you're all having a good time and laughing and you know, telling stories and all the things that we do. Do you ever have that moment where you stop and think, you know, you just kind of like look at all that and you think there are people that don't have this? It kind of like if you ever do, it's that thing that'll kind of like shock you into reality. It's just like, you know, this, we really are very lucky, very thankful.
We're very blessed. It is.
Very blessed.
Well, when you ask me that, what brings to mind for me is on the neighborhood watch. I don't know if y'all have that or not, but we have this little neighborhood watch and everything is printed on there. I mean, everybody has something to say. And the other day, there was a lady on there, and she gave her name and where she lived out here. And she said she'd had back surgery and all this other, and hadn't been able to go back to work. And she said, I hate to say this. She said, I've ran out of being able to go to the food pantry. She said, the last food pantry I went to, the food was outdated, and a lot of the stuff was spoiled. And she said, I hate to ask for help. But I could really use some groceries and personal products.
Really?
Now, people sprang into action. That's the kind of neighborhood I live in.
Wow.
And one man said, my wife and I will bring you groceries right away. Text us your address. Another lady said, I will bring groceries right away.
Wow.
And it was just, I mean, in 3 hours, this woman had all the food that she needed for the next month. And one lady said, do you need a turkey? She said, I've got two turkeys now. So everybody really helped her. And, you know, she really needed the help. She hated to put her name out there, but she was desperate. She'd had this back surgery that hadn't went well, and she couldn't work. And she was down to it. But I was amazed at how quickly the people responded and got her food immediately. I mean, everybody said, let me come. Let me bring some food.
Wow.
And they didn't send her to a pantry or say, go talk to the Salvation Army. They said, we'll come right away and bring you some food.
Yeah, they did it themselves. Wow, that is really
fantastic.
They
all did it themselves. And there was one other incident that happened, and this is back in the summer. These people lost their house. They were staying at some shelter, and they still had a car. The lady was working. Her husband couldn't work, and her car went out completely. And the neighbors posted that, and it took 3 days, and the neighbors bought her a car.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yes. And it was amazing. This lady needed it so desperately to go to work. And they got her a good used car and delivered it to her. And there was enough money left over to start getting them an apartment.
Wow. How great is that?
Man. So I'm telling you, when we talk about Thanksgiving all year long, you know, there's people in need. There's people that, you know, they hate to ask, but they will finally ask for just a little help. And the neighbors here, I mean, they're quick and they're decisive. And they'll just go, you know, let me text you your address. I'll be there and bring food.
Wow. That is so great.
Yeah. When we're sitting here having our Thanksgiving and, like you say, we're being thankful, but we don't realize there's some people out there. If we just really look around, could really use our help. They could use a little food. I know one lady was on there. She said she'd managed to get her bills paid, but she didn't have enough money left over to pay for her food and the dog's food.
Oh,
and that's why a lot of the dogs are ending up in shelters right now. People are having a hard time, and they're just the dog has to go, and they're taking them to a shelter, which is terrible.
Yeah, you don't always think about the animals.
Wow. Yeah, you have to think about the animals. It affects if they don't have food, then you know, the animal isn't going to have food either.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
So there's a lot of places we can really help at this time of year. If we just help one family or one person, you know, we've done something. And if we could help more than one, it's a great idea, especially this time of year.
Yeah. It's a time where we think about things like that, and you know, you hear stories like that and all the response, and it really kind of makes you want to go out and find somebody to help or do something for. So that's really fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And before we wrap up real quick, we'll get into there's two main risks with a life settlement. What is the biggest risk?
The biggest risk is it can go over and you're going to have to pay premiums. So everybody should always know that could happen. You could have to pay premiums, and you need to be prepared for it. Some of them never go over, but a lot of them do. So when you buy a policy, always look and see what the premium is. We always tell you up front what the quarterly premium will be, okay? So we always give you that information. So that's always a good thing to know. The second risk is that it's not liquid until it matures. So you can't get paid until it matures naturally. So when it matures, you get your money in full. You get your principal and your interest.
Okay. And I assume after you and everybody had a long four-day weekend, but this coming week, I assume it's back to regular schedule.
Everything will be regular hours, regular days. We're stuffed, but we're in good shape.
Still working through a food coma, but we'll power through it.
That's right. We still got that going on. But yes, our offices will be open every day this next week.
All right. And one last time, Faye, for people to call, make an appointment, come see you, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. 877-588-3330. And our website, don't ever forget, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.